Words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. It's only electronic stuff. If it breaks, it's no big deal. You know that at him. It was to the wrong tune.
I knew there was something about the ants crawling across the page.
I just asked Trip, and he'll say, "Wait a minute, we on Monday night. We need to go through the hymns and make sure that we got." He's the man to remember. He's always good at remembering.
There's a whiteness in God's mercy, like the whiteness of the sea, etc. Then we can all sing it. There we go. All right. Okay. If everybody would turn to Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 22. In him, in Christ, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, 22.
22, that's why
you made us
up on verse 2.
One word, yeah. Got to be on the right verse, too. Okay. How many of you saw the movie Apollo 13? Apollo 13? It was really a reasonably accurate account of what happened. And for those of you who may not know what happened, Apollo 13 was the third mission to the moon, to land men on the moon. And on the way to the moon, on the translunar trajectory, one of the oxygen tanks in the service command service module blew up, which then also managed to pierce a second oxygen tank. So they lost two of their three oxygen tanks on the way to the moon. And for some reason, they decided they probably needed to abort the mission as a result of that. But what they did was they moved into the lunar module and used it as a lifeboat, as it were. And they went around the moon and then used the gravity assist to push them back toward Earth. On the way back toward Earth, though, NASA recognized that they were slightly off the trajectory necessary to bring them back safely into the Earth's atmosphere, and they needed to do a course correction. Well, they don't have the service module anymore. So they had to use the lunar module engine to make this course correction. But they also had to be properly aligned, because if they made the course correction and they ended up going too shallow, they would burn up in the atmosphere. If they didn't get it low enough, then they would skip off of the atmosphere and end up circling the sun. There was an 8-degree arc that they had to hit. Okay? And they were using an engine they'd never used before to do this. So it was quite an amazing thing. Then they had to be properly aligned, and so they had to have something upon which to align themselves. And so NASA was saying, see if you can pick a particular star or something. Problem, all of the windows were covered with frost because they didn't have heat in the new lunar module. And they couldn't see any stars because there were ice crystals. So which one do you focus on? Finally, Jim Lovell says, wait a minute, there is something we can focus on. The Earth. They could see the Earth through one of the windows. And then they could focus on that. And then they could be in the right attitude to come back. And this is the key here, folks. We need to be in the right attitude to get where we need to be. We need to be rightly focused on the Lord to get to where the Lord wants us to be. Okay? Attitude. I was doing a study on the word attitude, and I came up, well, let me just read to you the dictionary definitions. There's four. I was very surprised. There are four. Okay. A position of the body or manner of carrying oneself. For example, the bride stood in a graceful attitude. Okay. Secondly, a state of mind or a feeling, a disposition. He has attitude. That's a state of mind or a position. All right, anyway. Thirdly, a position of an aircraft or a spacecraft relative to a frame of reference, like I just described to you. Okay. And then fourthly, I had to really do some homework on this one. I didn't know anything about this. A position similar to an arabesque in which a ballet dancer stands on one leg with the other raised, either in front or in back, and bent at the knee. So I spent a lot of time on talking to a certain dancer. Would you like to show them what an attitude is? You better be on the predella so the people at home can see you.
Let's see if I can balance on one foot again. All right, so to the front, it looks like this. It's supposed to be at a 90-degree angle. And then to the back, I don't know if I can do this.
Yay! It was much better to have her do that than me. I'm wearing white. All right.
I want to see it.
What was that?
I want to see it.
No, ma'am. Yeah. All right. But anyway, after the year and a half that we have had, we need an attitude adjustment. We need a course correction to take place here. We need to be and an attitude that's rightly focused on God, that we may get to where he wants us to be. All right. The word of the Lord that has come to us over the last year or so was that God is dismantling his church and rebuilding it in his image. If you look again at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, we are being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. We are being built into the temple of the Lord. Okay? And that's what all of those meditations. If you did not read the Lenten meditations, I would invite you and even encourage you to go back. They're on the website. I believe Hugh posted them. They should still be there under the devotions. You can look at them. It's all about us being built up into the temple of the Lord. And then last week in the Old Testament lesson, Father David made reference to it. In Amos talks about how God has put a plumb line in the midst of Israel. Okay. And the neat thing about a plumb line is it doesn't matter where you drop a plumb line. It's always going to point to the center of the earth. You can drop a plumb line here. Or you can drop a plumb line in Russia. It's all going to point to the center of the earth. A plumb line keeps that attitude directed toward a specific central object. Okay. And so what we need is an attitude that focuses us on the center, on Jesus Christ, and on him and him alone. But right now in our society, there are a whole lot of voices hollering for our attention and pulling us one way or the other. The far right conservatives want us to go over here. The far left liberals want us to go over here. The Black Lives Matter here, the Blue Lives Matter there, the pro-life versus the pro-choice. You've got all these voices just battering at us for our attention. And what we need is to be centered and have our attitude focused directly toward God. Let me give you an example that how this is really affecting the church. How many of you have ever heard of Father James Allman in Wisconsin? He is a Roman Catholic priest, and he just got deposed by his bishop this past week because he announced to his congregation over and over again over the last few months that you cannot be a Democrat and a Roman Catholic. Whoa! Okay, didn't know that that was written anywhere in the Holy Scriptures or in the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church, but there it is. Okay, so he was deposed. He also indicated that anybody who gets a vaccine has given themselves to the devil. Whoa, okay, yeah. See, the voices have focused him against what is the center, the Lord, okay? And look at Ephesians chapter 2 again, verse 13, and then we'll skip to verse 18. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He's talking to the Gentiles, remember. Now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Verse 18, for through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. We both have access in the one spirit to the Father. Whether you are conservative or liberal, whether you are pro-life, pro-choice, it doesn't matter. In Christ Jesus, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You were uncircumcised, and now you are circumcised in Christ, as it were. Well, we heard this week in the daily office lessons in Acts chapter 2. Jesus is bringing the two extremes of Gentile and Jew together. In chapter 10, Peter had that vision of this sheet being lowered down, and then he was invited to go to Cornelius's home. He went into the home of a Gentile. You can't do that. You're a Jew. You can't do that. You can't go eat as a Republican in a Democrat's home. You know that. That's just forbidden, okay? It's the same thing. In Acts chapter 11, the circumcision party called him to task. And they said, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, you went into an uncircumcised man's home and ate with him. And then Peter explains that I saw this vision. God told me that there was nothing unclean that he has cleansed. I went to his home. They received the Holy Spirit. And who was I not to baptize them? And so he did. And they said, the circumcision party said, well, oh, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. Hallelujah. The two parties have been brought together in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. In Christ Jesus, we are one. Are you with me? Are you hearing this? Okay. Back to where we began. In him, you also are being built together. Note that. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It's not about right doctrine. It's about relationship. It's not about my way, your way. It's about the way. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the kingdom. St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I do nothing without the will of the Father. I do nothing apart from him. That's where we need to be. We need to have that attitude. We are doing nothing without our focus being completely on the Lord. We're not going to go back, friends. People keep talking about how, oh, I wish things could get back to normal. And there's not even, I truly believe what the Lord is telling me too is that there's not even a new normal. There's not going to be anything that's static. The Lord is building his church to be dynamic. We're going to be on the move. It's not going to be a stationary institution within our society. It's going to be a dynamic, life-changing experience for those who are in it. And for those who are in it, they are going to be the vehicles for life-changing events in the society as a whole. God is rebuilding his church in his image. Think about what Jesus did in his earthly ministry. That's the image that God wants for his church. We're not going back to what we consider normal. We may want to do things the way we did them before, and there may be a few of those that we do reclaim, but only if the Lord so declares it to be. Jesus is dismantling his church and rebuilding it in his image. His image. His body. We're trying to make sense of all of this as the rector's council, the parish council, as a parish. We really need to hear the word of the Lord to know exactly what the Lord is calling us to do, that we may have that right attitude and be focused on him, that we may go the path that he has prepared for us. We need to drop, as it were, a plumb line and go directly toward what he is working on and join him in what he is doing. We need the straight way. We need the way, which is Christ Jesus himself. We need to hear from him. What I was going to suggest that we would do today, I talked to Father Chris and Father David before the service, and there was consensus that this is the right thing to do, is that at the time of the Eucharist, after Father Chris finishes the consecration, we're going to pause, and we're going to ask the Lord to speak, and we need to hear prophetically what God is saying. Now, you got to recognize, too, that it's possible we're not ready to hear what he has to say. And so there may be absolutely nothing that comes of it. There's always that possibility. I don't know if Christopher could agree with me. There are many times when we've gone down to Metkin Abbey going, okay, God, I want to hear what you have to say about. And God says, I don't really want to talk to you about that right now. And he starts talking to us about, you need to clean up that mess and you need to do this. And I didn't want to hear about that, Lord. I want to hear about. You're not ready to hear what I have to say about that. And it's possible that that could happen, okay? It is. But we want to know what God is saying. And so we're going to have a time of prophetic utterance. We're going to have a time to be quiet and listen to what God is saying. And Father Chris was suggesting, let me make sure I got this right, that we'll, in order to not have all the chaos of flipping back and forth with that, what we'll do is, those of you who are on Zoom, we'll give you about 5 minutes. And if you have a word from the Lord, please speak. And as Father David said, then your time's up and you can't speak anymore. No, that's not what we're doing. But seriously, we're going to give you an opportunity to speak first, just so that it's not so confusing. And then those in here. And then if something does come up later, we will certainly let you speak. But this is also, I want to encourage you, this is a safe place. You may think you're hearing, but you're not absolutely sure. Speak up. This is a safe place. If you make a mistake, it will not hurt. We will be okay. We will take it to the Rector's Council. We'll pray it up, and we'll listen to what the Lord is saying. I believe that the Lord has a word for us. The bishops were in New York last week, and they came away with the sense that God is still really active in the CDC right now, and that we need to be listening. And so, brothers and sisters, it's time for us to listen. It's time for us to get our attitude rightly aligned so that we can focus on Him. We need to hear what the Lord is saying to His church. Amen.